It's so good to see you. I can't see as well. The lights are slowly coming back up, but it is good to see your face. I can hear you, and that's enough for me if I couldn't see you. And yeah, now I'm seeing more and more. It's good. You know something? We've learned some new things. We've developed some new skills. I mean, in the early days, we didn't know who we were talking to in the grocery store. Like, who are you? You know, and now it's like, oh, yeah, I recognize those eyebrows and that forehead. Yeah. You know, we're getting better at that. We're improving. And so they're always, just thank God for the little blessings, the little victories. I want to tell you a short story. In the first century, a first century battalion of Roman soldiers was chasing an enemy, and they had chased them into the unknown. The map makers in those early days, they would draw dragons and sea monsters to describe the places that they had never seen, and they just assumed were horrible, terrible places to warn people. And so this commander of this Roman battalion, he gets to the edge, and he's got a decision to make. Does he chase the army that he has in retreat? Does he chase them into the frightening unknown? Or does he return around and retreat and go back into familiar lands? Paralyzed with uncertainty, he sent a simple dispatch back to Rome. He said, "Please send new orders. We have marched off the map." I mean, can you feel that? You feel how we've just marched off the map in 2020? I mean, it's just so different. We've never been here before. You know, you have that feeling. I think about teachers and administrators. I mean, you guys, more than anyone else, all summer long, you waited, you got directives, and then they changed. Then you went back to school, you started, you got your classroom ready, you got more directives, they changed. Students, same thing. Do we go in person, online, whatever? And it seems like the directives are changing every week, maybe even every day. And you feel that. There's no map for this. You know, small business owners, you've been pivoting, as Michelle said, you've been pivoting over and over to adjust to a new world. Parents, I mean, like, you didn't sign up for virtual training at home while you're trying to do your work there too. And what's that like, trying to work from home? Or worse still, being at home, not because you're working at home, but because your job disappeared in this pandemic. I mean, we're all just winging it. We don't have Google Maps or Siri to tell us where to take the next turn. It's just so very different. And that's why I identified with the book I recently read that wasn't written about this pandemic, but it was written about the changing times we're in, and it really fits this pandemic. It's called Canoeing the Mountains by Todd Bollinger. And in Canoeing the Mountains, he talks about a dilemma that Captain Meriwether Lewis and his good friend, Second Lieutenant James Clark, faced as they were marching through the North American wilderness in 1803. Now, their problem wasn't that they had marched off the map. That was their intention. That was their mission. They were map makers, among other things. But the basis on which they had, the premises and the assumptions they made for their journey, proved to be completely false. Because their wrong assumption was that the uncharted and unknown West had the same geography as the familiar East. Captain Lewis expected, when he got to the headwaters of the Missouri River, then to just march up to the top of a hill and look over the top of that hill at what would be, at best, maybe a half a day's march with his men carrying the canoes on their backs to the headwaters of the Columbia River. And they looked forward to placing their canoes in the Columbia River and just letting its swift current carry them all the way to the Pacific Ocean. But that's not what they discovered. What they discovered was not the gentle slopes of the tree-lined bluffs, but treeless, endless, enormous rocky mountains in front of them that went on and on and on. Every assumption that they had made about what was ahead of them was wrong. There was no northwest route. There was no navigable river to put their canoes in. No water passage across there, and they had a decision to make. Do they forge ahead into a wilderness that they are not prepared for? Or do they turn around and go back to familiar lands? The stakes were high for them, but not just for Lewis and Clark and their expedition. The stakes were high for the young United States. It was 1803. We had just the third president in office, President Jefferson. And everyone was racing to find this northwest water route. Whoever found it first would control the water route, they would control the trade route, and then control all the great resources of this great continent. The British and the Spanish and the Americans were all racing to find that Northwest Passage, that passage they knew was a water route. And whoever got there first would control the rest of the continent. But it wasn't there. As a matter of fact, what a lot of people don't know about the Lewis and Clark expedition is that the Spanish sent two different war parties to find Lewis and Clark and kill them and all their expedition before they found it. But what they found was not even that. Like I said, it was the Rocky Mountains. And so they had to decide, what do we do? Do we abandon our mission because our strategy is completely inadequate to do this? Or do we stick to it and forge ahead? And they chose to stick with their mission, which was find a Northwest Passage, even though they now realized it wouldn't be by water and their canoes would be useless. They would canoe the mountains, so to speak, and stay with the mission to find that passage. And so they marched up into the mountains and into history. We marched off the map this past spring when the NBA canceled all of its games. And then one by one, we started discovering this is really a pandemic. And we marched off the map into a territory we had never been before. We had no maps for this kind of a pandemic. You remember we expected that we would stall everything for about 2 to 4 weeks while we flattened the curve? Remember that? We just needed to flatten the curve so that the hospitals can handle it, and then we'll pretty much get back to normal. Be careful, you know, social distance, keep the people who are vulnerable, you know, out of the public, but then we'll be okay. And yet here we are, 6 months later, and we're really tired of the pandemic, but it is not over. People are still getting infected. People who don't think they have it are still giving it to other people. As a matter of fact, I spent this past week or two praying for two men that are on life support in hospitals. One a family member, my wife's cousin, who's close to my age, his name is Mike Ponder. And the other a former member of this church, Shad Skinner, who's considerably younger than me. And both men are hanging on to their lives, and I'd appreciate you praying for Mike and Shad, because this is still much a pandemic to them and their families. We've marched off the map. And like Lewis and Clark, we are journeying through the mountains of the future that we have never seen before. Along the way, man, we have faced racial divides and unrest. We've faced hurricanes, political tensions, toilet paper shortages. Remember that a long, long time ago? That's only been like 4, 5, 6 months ago. Seems like an eternity. And murder hornets. Are those still a thing? I've seen a few memes that sum it up, okay? Let me show you some memes. This is the first one I saw. If 2020 was an avocado, I mean, it's the bits. It's just not much stuff to it. Or if 2020 was a scented candle. Yeah, let it burn. My favorite is if 2020 were a piñata. Yeah, that's what we get. That's what we get. Listen, folks. Once we have a vaccine, once masks are just retired, like my eye patch from 2019 is gone, once we're not afraid to be close to one another and squeeze into stadiums and concert halls, folks, I'm telling you, what we need to realize is the world in front of us will be very different from the world behind us. Too much has changed. And I don't know what it is. I'm not going to try to predict all those things. I can guess a few minor things. I think we'll still have buffets. Maybe there won't be self-serve anymore. I don't know. But a lot is going to be different. It's going to be a different world now. We have several options as we march into the future or choose not to. Okay, we can ignore this reality and we can just hunker down and just live through this pandemic and just pretend like it was a bad dream and just wait for everything to return back to normal. Or, and this is what I think distresses me almost more than anything, we can just divide into our political tribes. Okay? And we can put all our hope in a Messiah on one side of the party line or another. And we can just choose to either be more woke or more patriotic. We can choose to do that. And many Christ followers are doing that. Their Savior is on a political ballot. Or if you're willing to let God's Holy Spirit guide you and light your path, we will see that racism, disease, economic uncertainty and unfairness are not uniquely American things. But they're symptoms. They're symptoms of sinful hearts in desperate need of a Savior, the Savior we know, Jesus Christ. Listen, go vote this fall. Vote for who you believe in, for a political thing. Vote. Get the vaccine when it comes out. Get a flu shot too now. I plan to do all three, but please, please, please put your hope in Jesus Christ, not someone or some ideology. Put your hope in Jesus Christ. The stakes are too high to choose otherwise, folks. Listen, as I've said, the terrain of the future will be very different, but Jesus is still our guiding light. Write that down if you're taking message notes on the BPF app. Jesus is still our guiding light. And I want to ask you, are you looking through a spiritual lens? Are you looking through a spiritual lens and making your decisions based on a biblical worldview, based on the Bible that you're still reading, in a Bible that you're letting the Holy Spirit illumine you and shine light on the world and all of its problems? Or do you let a political tribe or a news organization tell you how to think, what is true and what is not true, and reinforce some of your beliefs and all that stuff? Do you do that? Or do you let Jesus be your guiding light, your North Star? Listen, it matters who you trust first and foremost. If you get the biblical worldview down, you will see through a lot of mess on both sides of the aisle, on all different sides of the racial divides. Jesus has to be first. Let him be your guiding light. Because the landscape will be different, and you need him. I need him. And then when we think collectively in terms of our church and our community, the terrain of the future will be very different as well for us. But our mission and our vision have not changed at all. That's the thing I have to keep reminding myself when we couldn't meet together. Our mission and vision are the same. Our vision, this is who we want to be, who God has called us to be. We are, say it with me, we are a church. Say it with me, we are a church for the unchurched. And our mission has not changed. Our strategies will have to, but our mission is still, say this with me, it's still guiding people to take their next step with God. And we can do that whether we meet together or not. This is where we begin our journey into the future with this vision and mission. And that future can be brighter, guys. It can be brighter than if this pandemic had never happened before. It really can be. We can win more people to Jesus Christ. We can help more people step out of spiritual darkness into the light of God's hope and love than we ever have before. And we can disciple people to be stronger. We have seen that about half of our church has just checked out. We were averaging between our two campuses and all five services about 1,500, maybe 700 people a week. When we do a multiplier on our online service, we're seeing half of those are ever showing up for church. And so we're going to be a different church coming out of this. But we can make stronger disciples than ever if we look to God for guidance. Our job is not to fill an auditorium. Our job is to guide people to take their next step with God and help them step over the line of faith and become more and more of a follower of Jesus Christ and trust him in an uncertain future. How we do this, how we disciple them, may need to change in some ways, and it will change. We don't know what all those changes will be. But we're asking God for wisdom for that. Open your Bibles to Ephesians 5:15. That's where I want to focus our attention on this morning. Ephesians 5:15, if you're looking in your Bible, it's in the New Testament. It's almost to the end, okay? Flip all the way into the New Testament. Ephesians is one of several letters that became books of our New Testament, part of our Bible, that were written by early church leaders. And the one we're looking at today was written by the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was one of the early church's greatest leaders, greatest missionaries. And he wrote this letter to a group of churches in and around the first century city of Ephesus in Greece. And he wrote it, actually, he was in quarantine at the time as well. His quarantine was called a Roman prison because Romans did not care much for Jesus talk. And folks, we haven't been able to meet for just a few months. A lot of our Christian brothers and sisters never, ever get to meet like this around the world because countries look at Jesus today in those countries the way the Romans looked at Christianity in his day. Listen to what he said from quarantine to the churches in Ephesus. He said, be very careful. Those are wise words today. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. That terminology, days are evil, was just, he put that in there to give a sense of urgency. We can't waste any days. People need to see Jesus in us. And this was written nearly 2,000 years ago, and yet it is relevant. It is as relevant today as it was the day he wrote it. When we marched off the map in March and entered unfamiliar territory, we were faced with decisions we had never encountered before. We saw decisions like Lewis and Clark saw Rocky Mountains they'd never seen before. What we needed both at home and at church and at work and at wherever we go, we needed wisdom. But James, the half-brother of Jesus, offers this promise. Just hold your place in Ephesians. Let me read you what James says. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. It's pretty simple. You should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it would be given to you. Now, we're going to do a deep dive into this book of James beginning next week as we start our fall message series called Real Talk, Helpful Conversations with the Brother of Jesus. And they're helpful conversations because he gives such great advice. They're kind of like the Proverbs of the New Testament, many of the verses. When he says things like, if you lack wisdom, ask God, he's generous. He'll give it to you. Well, now is a great time to ask for God's wisdom because we need it. We need it. Write this down, okay? If you're taking notes in your message notes, write this down. Ask for God's wisdom as you canoe these mountains. Ask for his wisdom. Stop and think about it for a minute. Have you been asking God for wisdom through all these months of difference and all the things that are going on? Have you asked God for wisdom, you know, daily and say, God, I don't know what to do. Help me. Or are you just doing what feels right or what someone else tells you to do? Have you asked wisdom and said, God, help me love my neighbor as myself. Help me not to be selfish with what I do. Or are you just kind of winging it? Listen, have you been seeking God's wisdom at school? In your parenting, because that's different now. At work, in your business, it is yours for the asking. Listen, of all the ages that you could have been born in, have you ever stopped to wonder why God allowed you to be born during this time and allowed you to live in this time of pandemic? Previous generations didn't, not for three or four generations. Have you ever wondered why? Well, here's why. It's simple, but it's profound. Because you were made for this time. God in his sovereignty chose for you to be born during this time and chose for you to live in this pandemic because he has a unique plan for each and every one of you. And if you follow that plan, you will flourish even in adversity and you will bring glory to Jesus Christ as you do that. Listen, because you were made for this, we need to seize this day. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. So ask God for wisdom. Ask for his wisdom as you canoe these mountains. I have asked for wisdom from God. And I've made some mistakes. I've been inconsistent. That's to ask my staff. But ask God for wisdom. I've asked God for wisdom for everything from opening and closing services. Do Kathy and I get on a plane to go give some relief to our kids who are living in a small apartment under quarantine, tight quarantine in their city with a preschooler for months? I asked for wisdom last week as a big group from our church went to go just cut down trees all around people's houses in Orange and Marshfield and Bridge City, Texas after the hurricane. And when people that I hadn't seen in years who were so grateful for us coming wanted to hug me or shake my hand, God, do I shake this person's hand or not? What do I do? People have passed away during this time. Do I hug a grieving widow? There's no map for that. There's no Siri to ask, what do I do here? I have to pray for God's wisdom day by day, sometimes hour by hour. I need his wisdom, and so do you. Let's ask God for his wisdom. Look back at Ephesians 5:15. And I think about this. Every time I want to get mad, it's really easy to make me mad. I try not to show it, but I get mad at the same things you guys get mad at, you know. The mask, no mask debate, you know. It doesn't matter what side you come down on it, you're going to get mad at people on the other side, right? Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. I am not wise without God's help. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Here's one of the beautiful things about wisdom. The wisdom that God gives you also gives you eyes to see opportunities even in dangerous, troubling times, because they're there. The opportunities to shine like stars in the darkness, as the Bible says, are there, even in bad times, if you seek God's wisdom. So Paul's lesson here is clear. Write this down. Look for new opportunities as you canoe the mountains. The playbook is no longer useful for the past in a lot of areas. So look for the new opportunities that God is placing before you, because they are there. From week one of this pandemic, we have been consistently challenging you, a time that we didn't think was going to last this long, but we've consistently challenged you to make the most of the time, to make the most of the opportunity to be at home and be with family and get and defeat the busyness of this world. Look for opportunities to see what is most important as you have to do without so many of the activities you did before the pandemic. Ask God to say, do I really need to go back to all that? Is there some of this I can leave behind? What do I need to pivot? How do I need to pivot? What do I need to change? Look for opportunities. And we continue to do that. For at least, I'll tell you, just like here at church, some of the things we've seen. For probably 2 years, we talked about streaming on our services online. We talked about it. Now, early on, our internet coverage was so bad out here that we couldn't do that, but that changed. But we talked about it. We talked about it, but we never pulled the trigger. And then in less than a week, we went online the first week that we closed our in-person services. And as a result of those online services, people in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and California have stepped over the line of faith and stepped out of darkness into the light of God's love, and they're now Christ followers because they were listening to an online service here. As a matter of fact, one of them is making plans to come here to be baptized, and if you're, well, this is an online service. I was going to tell her that somebody offered to fly them here in our last service. And so, you know, to pay for it. So, I mean, opportunities have come. And God is still working. God is still working. How we do church for people who don't live in Brazoria County, how are we going to do that? We don't know. We just don't. You know, we're going to figure it out. We're going to seek God's wisdom. How do we disciple people? What's their next step? Do we do something online? Do we find them at church? We don't know. Doesn't matter. We're going to ask God to show us. One of the sweetest stories that I've heard during this pandemic has been that of Laurie Grisels worshiping with her mother in Connecticut. I want you to see her story.
So when Brazos Point transitioned to online services during the start of the pandemic, there was a moment I was chatting with my mom, kind of FaceTiming with her device. And I looked over at Tony and I said, is there a way we could connect her somehow? And since we're online, can we find a way to let mom watch church with us? And so my tech-savvy husband set up all this equipment. And since probably the second or third week that Brazos Point's been online, we've been able to do church just about every Sunday with my mom. And it has been a huge blessing. It's allowed us to have conversations that we probably wouldn't have had otherwise. And it helps me be able to reinforce kind of what our pastors are saying during the message. My mom grew up in church, but I think there's still always some concern in her heart when we talk about, on occasion, she'll mention that she's ready, and when Jesus calls her, she's ready to see him. But in her mind, he's going to maybe not be happy with the way she did things, or maybe she wasn't good enough. And the messages that our leadership have put out is like, and we know God does this, but it's been so on point to the questions that she and I have had. And so it's hard to say that this has been an awesome experience for us, but within the mixture of uncertainty and just changes in everybody's lives, God has provided this Sunday morning time to visit together that we both look forward to. It's a time that I'm always going to find precious and always remember and very thankful for.
Beautiful. How do you like that? Still guiding people to take their next step with God. We've been able to connect with someone in Connecticut. We didn't have to stop our mission or abandon our mission just because we couldn't gather together the way we had before in worship and in small groups. We found new ways to meet with one another. We didn't have to lay off any staff because we couldn't pass the offering baskets anymore. You guys continued to give online or mailing it in. We didn't have to abandon the commitments we made to our overseas partners and our folks, the churches that we help in Seattle, because we couldn't travel there anymore to serve with them and serve alongside them, having those mission trips that we usually go on. Because you continue to give so faithfully during this time and have continued right up until now, we have been able to keep all of our commitments that we have made to all of our international partners and all of our stateside partners, as well as in some cases do more for them. And in addition to that, you guys have given during this pandemic when we weren't meeting. You've given more in our World Missions offering here than we ever have before in our 19-year history. As of last week, you'd given over $90,000. And 100% of that is going to be given away. I'm so proud of you. And I'm so proud of the way you guys have pivoted to that. You know, our Pray for One emphasis where we've asked you, please set your alarms for every day at 10:02. And remember to pray for one at that time. That emphasis didn't end because you couldn't invite your friends to church. No, we had more time to visit with our friends and neighbors in our neighborhoods or in our apartment complexes because we were there more. And we could have more conversations. I certainly have. I've had a lot more conversations with my neighbors over the last 6 months than before. And many of them have been spiritual conversations. And I've been able to share my faith with a few people. Look back at Ephesians 5:15. Let this sink in. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You know, it's really easy to be foolish. Have we not seen a lot of foolishness? What's really kind of funny is the people that look foolish to us, they probably think we're foolish. You know, we all think everybody else is foolish and all. That's a moving bar, but it is easy. We can agree we've seen foolishness. It's easy to be foolish. But folks, it takes a lot of intention to be wise. It takes intention to understand what God's will is. That's why we pray for wisdom. And that's why we look for new opportunities. And let me offer three practical ideas to seek the Lord's will, okay, before we close. Just three practical ways to seek God's will for the days ahead as we canoe these mountains, okay? Number one is make the most of every area in which God has placed you. Remember, God is sovereign. You were born for such a time as this. Look for every area that God has put you in, whether that area is school, work, or if it's the same, your marital status, where you are living, your stage of life, whatever area you are in, okay? Make the most of that opportunity, wherever you are. See whatever season of life you're in as an opportunity to display God's love and hope to a world that is just hopeless without Him. Second, avoid a get-through-this-pandemic mentality. I mean, haven't we said this? I just can't wait till it's over. I just want to get through it. Avoid that mentality because, folks, that's what we were doing before it started. Remember? How many times before this all happened did you say, man, if we can just get through soccer season with the kids? Or if you're a student, if I can just get through this grade or this year in school? Or if I can just get through this turnaround or this project at work? You know, if I can just get through this illness, then I can serve God and then I can and take my Pray for One person to coffee and stuff like that. If we're not careful, if we're not wise, we will continually live in a let's get through this time to the next, and that next never comes because we keep not living in this time. Avoid that mentality. However long this takes, let's live in it. Let's live in it. Wise Christians will not just live through this pandemic. Wise Christians will live in it. They'll make the most of their time and live in it. Listen, don't just live through this. Live in it. Live in it. Live carefully now. Not later. Make wise choices with the time you have now, not later. God is putting opportunities. He will put some opportunities in front of you today if we just pray for wisdom to see them. And if every time you want to despair or get mad or just give up, ask for wisdom. Let's start making some new maps. And let's march into a better history so that when we look back on this time 10, 20, 30 years from now, and we will, this will be completely over, we can be proud of the way we trusted God through it. And we can look back and see the beautiful things that God did in spite of all the horrors and death and everything else that came with this year. Let's trust God. Make new maps. Let's pray. God, this has been a tough year, and it's going to continue to be a tough year. And yet, God, it's been a good year. Good things have happened. People have come to know you this year. There's nothing better than that. Father, some families have reconnected like never before. A lot of people have seen through the busyness of their schedules pre-coronavirus period. God, we're not trying to make something out of nothing. We're not trying to say that this hasn't been tough. But God, help us to seize this day. Give us the grit and courage to move forward like Lewis and Clark and their team did. Help us to discover new things in new ways. And help us to chart a future that is more promising and brighter for others as well as ourselves. We trust you. We ask this in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.